It was Martin Luther who said there needs to be three conversions. Conversion of the heart, conversion of the mind, and a conversion of the pocketbook. It was David Foster who said the third is much more difficult than the first two. We have this idea, we have this really uncomfortable relationship with stuff, don't we? With money, with getting things and having things. And yet, the scripture, are never more simple than they are at this issue of stuff and money and resources. You have three areas over which you are going to be held accountable. Your money, your time, and the expenditure of your energy. Those are really the only things you have. These are the things that you tithe and give and use to make of your life something bigger and better. Because at the end of the day, don't we all want to leave the world a little bit better than when we found it? Really? Seriously? Don't we? I mean, do we want to leave the world a little bit smaller, a little more angry, a little more fussy than when we found it? Or a little bigger, a little more grace-filled, a little more generous, a little more loving, a little more lifting? That's what I want to do. You see, all of us have to make a decision and make it and keep it of which we're going to be. One, am I going to be a taker-consumer? You know that mentality that the world revolves around me. As I'm a consumer, I want to buy things and have things and consume things. And then I want to go on after I've consumed that thing to the next thing. Take, 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 give, 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 consume. Love me, help me, serve me, take care of me. Now, that's okay for a child. That's okay for 4 months. It's a little bothersome for 4 years. It's downright sad when you're 40 and you're still doing that, right? Or will I be a giver, creator? In the beginning, God, what? Created. And he gave us the capacity, since we're made in his image, to be creative innovators and to spend our lives doing things that matter. So you have to ask yourself, am I going to be a taker? Am I going to be a giver? Am I going to be a consumer or am I going to be a creator, innovator, and make something big and bold of my life? And if I'm going to do those things, if I'm going to be a giver, contributor, creator, I need to understand the law of reciprocity. Or simply said this way, Jesus said everything simple. Aren't you glad? He didn't say, okay, here's the law of reciprocity, right? He didn't say that. He said, here is the law of giving and getting. Give and it will be. That's it. That's it, period. Right there. You can stop right there. That's it. It's like the law of gravity. Let's say you get up on the tallest building. Let's say you get up on the Batman building. And you're a Christian. And you're paid up. You pay your tithe. I mean, for my, you pay your tithe. You get your Bible. You go to the Batman building. You pray for everyone. You love everyone. You're sweet. You're all right. You're paid up, ready to go straight up. And you jump off the top of the Batman building. You will die. Right? I don't care what you pray on the way down. Oh, Lord, I just love you so much. I know that our relationship is special. And for me, you're going to make an exception to the law of gravity. And just before you say that, God will say, splat. You're going to die. And we're all going to say, why did God let him die? God, what were you doing? Just keep me my promise. You jump off a building, you die. That's it. That's a law of gravity. And God isn't going to suspend it for you. So you might as well quit asking. Right? You eat a box of Ho-Hos and you're going to gain weight. It's just the way it is. You know, you can stop staying up at 3 o'clock in the morning and buying all these diet deals. Right? You can get off the Ho-Hos and the energy drinks. Right? Seriously. But we don't want to do that, do we? We want to be consumers and takers. We want someone to fix us. God said, here's the deal. Give comes before getting. Giving comes before getting. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his son to get what? Us. Boy, he got a raw end of the deal, didn't he? Right? So am I going to be a consumer? Am I going to be a creator? Am I going to make something of this life, of these three areas that I have to manage, my money, my time, and my energy? Maybe you can add a fourth, my relationships. But that's about it. So which am I going to be? Am I going to give? Am I going to be generous? I like this. I looked this up in the scripture. The definition of the word generous, characterized by a nobler spirit. Yeah. You see, gratitude, gratefulness is the best evidence that you're a Christian, and generosity is its first proof. So I'm going to live in the flow. That's what we've been talking about in this series, isn't it? I'm not going to be a consumer. I'm going to be a creator. I'm not going to be a taker. I'm going to be a giver. I'm going to live in the flow because generous wins. So here is my commitment today. I want you to learn it. I want to teach it to you. And you want to be able to say it and think about it and reflect on it in this coming week. And here it is. Today. I can't worry about tomorrow. Can't worry about yesterday. Amen. I can't do anything about yesterday, right? It's all done. I can't do anything about tomorrow. I can't place all of my headspace into the future and let it occupy. I got to be right here, right? In this moment. This is the sacred now. So now today, I am going to live in the flow of God's grace and out of the overflow of his goodness. So here's the commitment. Let's make it. Ready? Say it with me. Today, I'm going to live in the flow of God's grace and out of the overflow of his goodness. One more time. Today, I'm going to live in the flow of God's grace and out of the overflow of his goodness, right? Today, right now. Now, how do I continue and extend that generosity? Today, I'm going to live in God's grace. I'm going to be generous with my time, my energy, my resources, and my relationships. Because here's the deal. When you need something, when you need to have a resource, that you have to proceed the getting of that resource upstream before you need it. Because here's the deal. I took life-saving in college. Did anybody do that? And one thing they taught us is never let a drowning man grab a hold of you, because he'll take you under. Have you ever wondered why you're in trouble, you don't have a job, you don't have money, all this stuff, and nobody wants to help you? Maybe you're sending off a feeling that you're in panic and you're going to take everyone down with you if they get close to you. You know who we are attracted to? Generous people with a generous heart, with a generous soul, people who are committed to be givers, creators, not taker consumers. And you know what? And the commitment to be a giver creator costs nothing. You don't have to have money. You don't have to have cash. You don't have to be connected. It's simply a mindset. And here's how it's created with these five generous wins. Number one, it's the source resource win. The source resource win. Years ago, I read a book called Who Moved My Cheese? Anybody ever read that book? What a great little book. I read that book, and basically it's about cheese and about these mice who found cheese. And the great thing about finding cheese is that cheese was there every day. And the more they ate it, the more that was there. And it was there Monday, Tuesday, it was there this week, next, it was there year after year after year. And so they got an idea that instead of getting up and going to cheese and then going to the store and then going to the grocery store, why not build all of the grocery store, the restaurant, and the mall next to where the cheese is? Huh? You're talking about cutting down on gas. Economic, atmospheric, ecological. We're covered. Okay, so we get up every day, we're going to the cheese, and there's a hot dog stand by the cheese, because who doesn't love hot dogs and cheese? And if you don't tell me. Who doesn't love, and they had a coffee shop next to the cheese, because they had cheese on their croissant. Right? So they had cheese for everything. They had Old Navy at the cheese. They had their grocery store at the cheese. They had a gas station by the cheese. And the cheese was great. Everybody's getting the cheese every day, getting up. Where are you going? I'm getting some cheese. And then they asked where they were going, because they knew. One day, somebody moved the cheese. They didn't eat all the cheese. They didn't send the cheese to the moon. They didn't destroy the cheese. They didn't zap it with lasers. They didn't turn it into marbles. The cheese didn't become bologna, for which a lot of us would be skinny if that's all you could eat, right? Somebody just moved the cheese. And you know what the mice did? The mice did what intelligent people do. They did a Google search. Right? Amen? Did a Google Earth. Street view, and they found the cheese. Woo! Right? No, 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 They kept going the old road through the old comfortable patterns to get the cheese. But guess what? There was no cheese, right? Are you with me? The cheese was moved. It was moved. All right. We're still cheese. It just wasn't there. And here's what happens is God blesses us with cheese. And you know what we start doing? Worshiping the cheese. Oh, cheese, you are yellow. We love your yellowness. And cheese in omelets make us feel good. And so we worship the cheese and we love the cheese. And then when somebody moves the cheese, what do? We get religious. Oh, God, where's the cheese? Lord, tell us where the cheese is. Please, Lord, we're dying for the cheese. Dear Lord, I just opened my little hot dog stand. I put all my money in my hot dog stand. If they move the cheese, nobody's going to come. Everybody knows I'm going to go back. Lord, please put the cheese back. And God says, the cheese has been moved. It shall not return. Amen. It doesn't say there's not any more cheese. It's just saying the cheese has been. And I tell you, as dumb as that you may think that sounds, that defines exactly where we are in America right now. There's cheese. They didn't. Yeah, the money is all still there. They didn't ship it offshore and sink it. It's not in your grandmother's mattress. It's all still there. It's moved. Thank you. Now, doesn't that make perfect sense? In our relationship with God, doesn't it make perfect sense that we understand that He is our source and cheese is a resource? And if the cheese moves, it's not the cheese we need to worry about, it's the source. So here's what we do. We make the cheese the source and God the resource. And I want to tell you right now, that hacks God off. Don't think God doesn't get angry. Don't think God isn't jealous of your love, because He is, the scriptures tell us without equivocation, that He is a jealous God. What's the first commandment of the Ten Commandments? You shall have no other cheese before me. Right? Come on. Really, seriously. And when we turn this thing upside down and our job is our source and the economy is our source and this business is our source. I mean, did you ever dream you would live to see the big three automakers where they are today? These are iconic in our land, in our memories, in our psyches. No one wanted them to fail. No one wanted them to be where they are today. But guess what? The cheese moved. Are you with me? And if you don't understand that, you are going to starve. And you can pray, oh God, put the cheese back. Oh Lord, please. And then the guy says, you know what? All I promised was cheese. Amen? Give us this day our... That's it. I didn't promise it would be over here. I didn't promise it would be over there. I just promised there would be cheese and that you would have to move from time to time and act like you have a creative brain in your body to find out where the cheese is. Can I hear an amen? All right, so we're cheese finders, right? So the first thing is this. I have to understand, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That includes cheese. Thank you. Honor the Lord with your cheese, with the first fruits of all your cheese. Proverbs 3:9, Foster translation. Now you're laughing at me, but isn't that just how silly it is? I mean, isn't that just how simple it is, really, seriously? God, the resource, the source is there who provides for the resource, and the resource is going to change. The source remains the... Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. Half-brother of Jesus said that. So the first win is this, is I'm not going to panic about the cheese being moved. I'm just going to simply understand that because I'm a giver creator, I'm going to Google where the cheese is. I'm going to find out where the cheese is. And I'm going to go to where the cheese is. But you know, like I know, that human nature and mouse nature are just about the same. Seriously, people will keep taking the same road to the same empty cheese building and die there. Can I hear an amen? And they'll cuss God, the economy, and the president all in the process. And God just simply said this, that I am the source, that's the resource. The source won't change. The resource always will. The resource will either go away and I'll have another resource, or the resource will move, and which means that you're going to have to move. Amen. Amen? All right, we got that? Here's generous win number two. The guilt-free giving win. As I give to God, I understand that I can never outgive God. I can always simply obey Him. And God constantly tells me to give out of these four areas: my money, my time, my energy, and my relationship. Each man, listen to what the scriptures say, each man or woman should give what he has decided, which means predetermined giving. Which means you can't come to the gathering and then I put a big giving sob story on you when the red buckets are passed and you say, I wasn't going to give anything, but if it's that bad, I was going to give some. You got any cash? Yeah, God don't want no loud money. You know what I'm saying? Amen? No? Okay, well, I thought that was funny myself, but obviously you don't. What he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under, as Barney would say, compulsion. Compulsion. In other words, I can't force you. I can't manipulate. For God loves a what? Cheerful giver. I'm happy to do it. I understand the law of gravity as well as I understand the law of reciprocity. I understand the law of flow, that I'm living in the flow of God's grace today and out of the overflow of His goodness. My source isn't panicked. He isn't worried. He has all the gold and silver in the world. The cattle on 1,000 hills are His. Every single day He resources the world and it looks like it's doing okay. Right? So, you know what? I'm glad to give. Guilt-free giving. You say, well, I come to church. I don't want to come to church and give. Well, keep it, dude. God don't need it. He don't need it. Whatever I want to give, I'm tithing, I teach tithing. That's an old Bible. You betcha. But the old Bible and the new Bible make one Bible. And if you don't think that's true, take it up with the author of the Bible. But here's the issue about tithing and giving out of the overflow. This principle, win number three, the give and grow win. Listen to what the scriptures say. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Test me. God says, test me in this. I'm the Lord your God. See if I won't throw open the what gates? Floodgates in heaven. And pour out on you a blessing that is greater than you can contain. How about this one? On the first day of the week, that's why we pass the red buckets. On the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping, not only predetermined giving, but proportionate giving in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when there'll be no collections when I come. So here's the deal. I give and grow. If I don't give, I don't grow. If I simply consume everything I have and don't put any back into circulation, I'm going to live a very small life. I'm going to constantly complain about the economy and try to get stuff from everyone else because it isn't working for me. And I've prayed. Well, you know what? Praying won't do it, dude. Reading the Bible won't do it. You got to stay off of tall buildings. You got to understand that the cheese moves, right? Yeah, Dave, that was really good. Yeah, absolutely. I don't need these people to make me feel good, so I can keep on saying what I need. There you go. All right, so here's win number one. It's the source resource. The cheese moves. The source doesn't change. The resource will always change. Guilt-free giving. I get to give out of God out of the overflow of my life. I'm living in the flow of His grace and now the overflow of His goodness. What I want to do, man, I want to get in on this. Yeah, I want to be in on this. This is why, you know, I have a website. This is why I do Twitter. This is why I do Facebook. It's why I do stuff. It's why I write books. It's why I speak. I want in the flow, baby. I want in the game. Amen? I may win. I may strike out. I may hit a single. But listen, I know people who live their lives and the greatest vision they have is to make the trailer payment and stay out of jail. I mean, that's a win for them. That's not a win for me. I hope it's not a win for you. You're created for far more than that. But you're going to have to understand that generosity and living in the flow is the only way to live the life that God promised. It's not a consequence-free promise that God says, you just live any way you want to, and because I love you, I'll give you a pass. No. If you jump off a tall building, you will die. Can I hear an amen? If you get out in the middle of the interstate in front of a truck, you will die. And we'll all say, why did God do that to us? God is so mean and so bad. No, not really. We'll just simply say, you know, this guy was an idiot. Jumping off of buildings, you know, what's the deal? Right? Here's the fourth generous win. I am a debtor win. Now, I'm not in disagreement with my good old brother Dave Ramsey. But here's what the scriptures say. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled what? The law. Now, I'm for being debt-free. I have had a PFC car for a very long time, and they are sweet. Oh, yes. Anybody here have a PFC car? Everybody know what that means? Everybody know what that means? Say it with me. Paid for a car. Amen. I don't look at a car and say, you know, what are the payments? I don't do payments anymore. Thank God for that. I hope you're out of payments too. But we are constantly in debt to love people, to honor people, to respect people. What does it say? You are to pay your taxes. Amen. You stop whining and griping about them. This is the contract. You pay your taxes. Respect and honor. If a policeman pulls up side of you, do you kind of get a little? I do. Even when I haven't done anything. You know why? Because he has the authority of the law. You know what I'm saying? He can make my day go south real quick. So an officer comes up to me, and of course, I've never had this happen, but if the officer comes up to you, you would say, yes, sir, officer, sir, sir. My parents taught me to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir, and I still open my wife's door on the car. That's one of the reasons why I'm still married to the same woman. Praise Jesus. I ask my daughters when they go out on a date, did he open the door? If he didn't open the door, he's a dud. It's a debt of love, baby. It's a debt of respect. You with me? Well, that's old-fashioned. Well, I'm sorry. You are infected with a now disease. Just because they're doing it now doesn't mean it works. It just means they're doing it now. Amen? What works? Respect and love and honor. The debt of the pledges that we've made and the covenants that we've made. I owe my wife my heart and my body all the way to the end. And I hope it's a long way off, but all the way to the end. There are some debts that I have a debt just because I live on this planet. I have a debt to the people who live around me. I have a debt to those who've entrusted me with some degree of influence. Well, I have a debt to my children that I'm never going to get over. I'm going to be constantly paying this debt of love. Let no debt remain unstanding except the continuing debt to love. I don't know nobody, nothing. I'm just my own man. Well, just die then. You know, go ahead and give us some space. We need your chair, right? You know, yeah, I'm free to choose, but I am not free of the consequences of either one. Even as a follower of Jesus. You with me? If I don't give, am I going to get? If I give, I'm going to get to get to give to get to give over and over, constantly, all the way through my life. It's the idea of flow, isn't it? That what flows into my life to flow through my life to resource and bless other people. And there's a lot more of that where that came from. Because the cheese does move, but the cheese doth exist. The cheese, can say it with me, the cheese remains. Right? The cheese remains. Amen? We serve a good God who got a lot of cheese. Huh? And he loves giving cheese. But he says when you get some cheese, put some cheese back in the flow. Right? And pay that debt that you owe. And here's the last one. Not only the source and resource win, the guilt-free giving win, the give and grow win, and the I am a debtor win. Here's the last one, and maybe the most intriguing part of this idea of giving comes before getting. And that is the bring your own bucket win. Bring your own bucket win. Here's what I firmly believe, though it is a composite belief based on truths in the scripture, though rather than some one statement, other than a statement like this. Jesus meets these guys, they're blind, they want something. He says, well, do you believe I can do it? And then he believes you can do all things. And this is what he says. He touches their eyes, they receive their sight, and then he says something important. According to your faith, will it be done to you? According to your faith, will it be done to you? Now, here's the operative issue. Remember, let's just go back up. It's repeated again in Jesus' statement in Luke 6. Given, it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your what? Your lap. It's this beautiful picture. Okay, bring out some bowls, bring out some barrels, bring out some buckets. Okay, I'm pouring everything I have, every container I have is full. What do I have left? Well, just pour it in my lap, right? Then he says this, for with the measure you use, thimble, barrel, get the picture, thimble. Anybody know what a thimble is? Barrel. Okay, big, small, okay. For the measure you use, the barrel or the thimble, it will be measured back to you, right? So here's the principle. You bring your own bucket. You want to look, listen, there is something to be said for a thimble full life. Another great thing about a thimble full life, anybody not going to be bothering you. Nobody, seriously, nobody's going to be bringing their problems to you. Nobody's going to be asking you to go on a mission trip. Nobody's going to ask you for $1 million for some really important life-changing cause. No one's going to be putting you on a donor's list. You're just going to be totally ignored. Isn't that awesome? Nobody will, they'll not know your name. You won't have an email address because you won't have a computer. If you have a computer, it'll be a PC, and it won't work. So there is something to be said for this little bitty self-contained thimble life. Okay. Or you could say, God, I want a bucket full. You might even dare to say, I want a 5-gallon bucket full. Now here's two things about this bucket you need to understand. Number one, you need to write this down. This is not in the outline. I just got some inspiration. Okay, you with me? The bucket, are you writing this down? Will leak. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It will leak. And you know who? We kick the hole in there, but I think God leaves it open. Because he understands that, you know what? If I fill up your bucket, you're going to worship the bucket. But if that bucket starts leaking, you're going to say, oh, my God, my bucket's leaking. Right? Keep you humble. Here's the other thing about the bucket, the barrel. It will be messy. You know what will entail in that great big old bucket? Taxes. People. People with agendas. People wanting your money. People who bothering you. People who think you can fix things and influence things. People who will look up to you. That'll be terrible. People who ask you for advice and for help. People who ask, try to enlist you into some things that would change the world. You're going to constantly have to keep, you have to have a calendar, so you better might as well buy a Mac. You have to buy a calendar. You can get an iPhone where you can sync them up together because you're going to be busy. You're going to pay more taxes than most of the other people. You just are. And at the end of the day, you're going to have to write a will because you have all this stuff that you're going to leave. You're going to leave a legacy. Wouldn't that be terrible? Or you could die upside down and owe the government and everybody else. Wouldn't that be precious? So you get to choose. You're going to live this big, creative, abundant life where you create wealth and love and energy and lift and leave the world much better than what you found it, or you can be a giver, you can be a taker, consumer, and suck everything out of everyone around you and die lonely, miserable, uncelebrated, and forgettable. You get to choose. You get to choose. I'd just soon live a messy life. I want to live a big life. I want my one and only life to matter. I want, when I die, my family to cry buckets and buckets and buckets of tears. I want my enemies to hold a dance. And I want my friends to go to it. Because at the end of the day, a life well lived is something worth celebrating. Because it's made us all different. Let's pray. Father, I ask you this morning to achieve in the hearts of these amazing men and women, creative, innovative, smart, experienced. Some are beaten, some are bruised, some are broken, others are bored. But Father, we come before you this morning with the possibility that our lives could be bigger than the time we spend on this earth, broader than the resources that we have to extend, more meaningful than we've ever hoped. Lives could be changed. Heaven can be populated. Hell could be a lonely place. Children could be loved. Resources could be put in the proper place. Stuff could be created. Solutions found. Diseases cured, wrongs right, all by the men and women in this room and listening to me right now. In God's name, may it be. And all God's people said, amen. Go get them.